Hey, Jack. Jack is projecting from an undisclosed location here in Sydney, and I can see something pretty exciting in the background of you, which looks like a pinball machine. But first, I just want to say, did you do your hair specifically in the theme colors of Microsoft Build? Because it's looking pretty stunning.
Thanks, Aaron. Look, I had a word with my stylist, sat down for the tea and Tim Tams to sort of de-stress before Build, and we had a word about the style, so I'm glad it's coming through on camera. I am here in an undisclosed location with a pinball machine. Now, it's just finished a training run game and is saving everything to memory, so hopefully it's going to be back up for another game shortly throughout this segment.
So I was lucky enough to see the pinball machine in action when they first built it over in Perth at an event. What was really exciting there was just to see how it would play itself and learn a bit about it. So obviously I've got a bit of the inside word. Can you tell our audience a bit about what it is? Like, because we've hyped it up, it's a pinball machine, but everyone's just going to go, it's a pinball machine. What's it got to do with us as technologists?
Well, I want to bring it back to bare basics with you first, because this isn't a custom-built pinball machine. This is exactly the same sort of unit you'd enjoy down at your local arcade if they still had one running for you. We acquired this and started to tinker with it and had some plans on how to help it build and play itself. One of the things you might be able to see behind me is it's actually built into a frame, and at the top there's a small webcam, and this is just an off-the-shelf webcam, no particular special video equipment. And there's a second webcam attached to the side frame. Now, these are pointed at two really important parts of the pinball machine. The first is the side camera, and that's pointed at the scoreboard or the score screen you can see flashing behind me. The second camera is pointed at the actual table itself, so it can get a video feed of where the ball is across the table. And together, we've been able to make it play itself.
Excellent. So how does it actually go about? So how does it go about playing itself then?
Yeah, so look, I did cheat a little bit earlier. We have made some modifications to the pinball machine itself, but those are only really around the gutter ball and the trigger mechanisms for the flippers. That allows us to feed inputs to it and make sure it's playing itself when the brain, our model, is able to tell it to trigger the flippers. These are all wired into the machine behind me, and maybe if I can ask our production team behind the scenes to go to a wider shot for a moment, you'll see on the screen behind me a couple of the video components that are coming through. Now, I know it's not very clear, but the two key things are that we're doing some OCR on the scoreboard, and then we're doing the image recognition as a training mechanism in for the model. Now, these all feed through to a Raspberry Pi that's been wired up inside, and then that's able to trigger the flippers.
Excellent. So how does it actually play itself? Because I know that I push buttons and make that happen, and you said it's wired into the flippers. So what's it doing then?
It sure is. So when you start a brand new model, the machine has no idea how to play itself. And so you'll hear it just randomly hit the flippers with no real reason to. And that's because it's still discovering how the board works. We've done a reinforcement learning algorithm here, which means we need to sort of treat it like a puppy. We need to train it properly. And that means we give it incentives or sort of positive indicators when it's getting a high score. And, you know, maybe some negative moments when it's not getting a good score. And things that trigger that are like a gutter ball. Over time, the machine learning model learns what's giving it a high score and what's not giving it a high score. So while we're not dealing with a sentient piece of artificial intelligence, what we're dealing with is a model that has learned patterns within the play and then can learn to reuse those patterns to try and get high scores. Over a day, we start to go from just randomly hitting the flippers up to starting to get a score. Over 2 or 3 days, we start to see it getting some high scores from the stock high scores. And after 3 or 4 days, we actually start to see it try and get some trick shots and start to play against a human. So it does take quite a amount of time and quite a few repetitions before it gets intelligent enough to play pinball.
So you said it can take a couple of days for it to learn and be a confident enough brain to be competitive against the average human. What is the reasoning that it can take so long, or what are some of the factors that need to be considered when building something like this and the time that it can take to train?
Yeah, look, it just needs a lot of data and a lot of repetitions to start to build out those patterns. We've encountered lots of little hiccups along the way building this machine. One of my favorite ones is that we've spent many, many days training a brain, and we thought we'd wheel it out as part of an experience and see if people could compete against the model, against the brain. And it turns out that when you move the location of the pinball machine, the environment it's in actually makes a lot of difference. We did some training in a specific environment and then moved it to an exhibition hall where the lighting had changed. And the really important thing there is that because the lights are different, the reflections off the glass is different. The reflections actually changed the way the model recognized parts of the board. I know of another story from very early on in the development of this where we'd set it playing and it had actually managed to break one of the flippers. But of course, nobody noticed at 2 a.m. Of course, we come back later, you know, 12, 24 hours after we get it started, only to realize we fed the machine some not good data. And this is a really, really fun reminder of the importance of your input data when you're building AI and ML type models to build intelligent applications. You've got to think really carefully about the input data and the biases that that has of your output model.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really valuable point to take away from this, is that the more data that you can provide to something, and be, if you're building a machine learning model behind it, the more intelligent it can become and the more accurate it will get. You know, just running it for an hour or two and it's going to get through a half dozen or so games, it's probably not going to be the most competitive. You know, I think about how many hours I've spent playing pinball machines. Well, I'd probably be able to, you know, beat a first run at it, but you know, as it gets better over time and evolves, it's going to become more and more competitive. And the only way to do that is data. And I think that's important when we're ever thinking about a ML-based system, is that the more information you can give it, the more accurate it can become, and the better the predictions can be. But also, that was kind of a funny point where you mentioned that the flipper broke overnight, because then it's still getting all the data, it's still being reinforced in its learning, but we're actually giving it incorrect data. And then that has a negative impact in the system output because it's been training with incorrect data. Although I think it would also help against some people if it's only playing with one flipper, because you know, I definitely have had times where I would much, much prefer that the computer did not have too much of an advantage over me. But you mentioned, though, it's using reinforcement learning as the way that it does the game state and building up more of an intelligent model. So how do we kind of visualize that and think about that in comparison to some of the other approaches of doing machine learning?
Yeah, look, one of the interesting graphs that you can start to see over time is the accuracy or the high score that the machine is able to get. This starts really quite low, almost as bad as I am at pinball, and then starts to get better over time. One of the interesting things that we discovered is that over time, that accuracy does start to plateau, and the time to get to that point can also depend on things like the tilt of the board. As the ball moves faster around the machine, it can be easier to get a trick score. So if you're talking to some pinball experts, or any of you out there watching the stream, you'll know that a higher incline for the pinball machine is a much better setup to get a high score, and that input of sheer physics of the machine actually has a big impact on the AI's ability to get a high score as well.
Well, excellent. I mean, it sounds like there's a good number of variables for it to take into account in to be able to build the perfect environment for it. So it means that we're probably a little bit further away from a robot apocalypse based off of pinball machines than we would like to have. Or actually, no, we probably don't want to have that, do we?
I'd be happy keeping pinball machines in my basement.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're just about out of time. And before we wrap up here and let you go back to actually playing the machine and see if you can beat it, I did want to ask, are there any sessions that people could learn more about artificial intelligence or IoT or anything in the nature of this pinball machine in particular throughout the course of build?
Yeah, absolutely, Aaron. You'll have to forgive me. I've got these up on my phone. I don't have the facilities for an auto prompt here. But we do absolutely have a number of sessions coming up throughout Build that will help more about AI, machine learning, IoT, and in fact, how the Build actually happened. First, I want to highlight some of the breakout sessions that are coming throughout today and into tomorrow. We've got Add AI to Your Solutions with Cognitive Services. That's a breakout session happening at multiple times tomorrow. We have Train and Deploy ML Models at Scale using Azure Machine Learning. That's actually on this evening tonight for our Sydney and Australian viewers. And we also have Microsoft IoT Vision and Roadmap with Sam George, our Corporate Vice President of Azure IoT. Now, that's happening this evening and then again in the early hours of the Australian morning for those of you that are particularly keen. Back on the live stream here on the homepage, we have an expert Q&A, IoT data, with our cloud advocacy friends, Christopher Addy. That's on this evening. We do have the latest and greatest with Azure AI. That's happening tomorrow morning, quite early on the live desk. And we also have what's new with Azure and IoT, and that's happening tomorrow afternoon on this stream with our friend Dave, also one of our cloud advocates. But last up, and possibly most importantly, is our community segment. The community segment on your session builders is called G'day from Azure Down Under, and you'll find that by going to your session builder and register for that starting. Now, it's really important, if you're not already registered, just go to mybuild.microsoft.com and make sure you're registered so that you can access the schedule builder, search for these segments, add them to your schedule so that you don't miss them.
Excellent. Well, I still don't think it'll be able to beat me, Jack, but it was great to hear a bit more about how that pinball machine works. Show off what I think is a really cool use of technology, and hopefully we'll be checking back in with you over the course of today just to see how the pinball machine is going and how intelligent that brain is becoming and whether we do have to be concerned for your safety.
Copy that, Aaron. We'll check in with you throughout the day. See you later.